Okay, Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to look at the false prophet and find the Antichrist counterpart. I want you to see something. I want you to tell me what you think about this. Not that. Obviously.
Wait. You don't want to know.
Okay, hold on. I got the wrong thing going on here. There we go. Okay, let me get my... Okay. Tell me what you think about this. Can you see what it is?
There's a chip in that hand.
Yeah, there is a chip in that hand.
Dogs have it already.
That is a grain of rice. This is an RFID chip that's a radio frequency identification. I don't know what you want to call it, you know, a frequency thing that you could put on. This thing can hold endless and endless amounts of information. Volumes, I mean, library volumes of medical history, financial history, your whole life history. It also can track where you've been, when you bought something, when you left certain areas, because they have GPS devices attached to it, some of these. It can tell you when you went to a store and when to Walmart. If you had this in you, we could tell your whole day. If stores were set up with these kinds of scanners, which Walmart has these scanners, for goodness sake. If you went into Walmart at 9 in the morning, it would say you went there, you left at 10:15, and then if you went to have lunch somewhere else and that place of business had a scanner, it would pick up that scanner, it would say he was here at 12:15. Virtually track your whole day if stores had this ability, which now they're pushing for anyway. Again, it's like the size of a grain of rice. And you can see if you put it into a hand, where it would go, right in that meaty part of the hand. Most of your items in stores have them already, and you don't know. You're probably wearing clothes now that have an RFID chip in it right now, because that's how they mark where things are bought and sold, how much quantities the store needs, and things of that nature. Walmart's real good about this. I mean, they have a central location that any item passes through. The scanners pick it up. It tells the offices in Arkansas, okay, this Walmart here in Rosedale's got, you know, 20 items of this. They need 20 more. And it tells the offices in Rogers, Arkansas to send Walmart more because of these scanners automatically going through. It's usually in the tag of your shirts and clothes. But it's in items like diapers. If you buy a pair of Huggy swimmers or whatever, it's in the diaper bag. Not in the diapers itself, but the bag itself, because they're checking the quantities. This has been going on for some time, putting it into animals. Why? Why start with animals?
Make sure that it's safe.
Yeah, one thing is that it's a lab rat in one sense, you know. But again, you know, people want to track their pets. They don't want to lose their pets, things of that nature. So they've started doing this with dogs specifically. They do it with cats as well.
Just to make people good.
Yeah, it's conditioning.
You should do it with people, too.
Yeah, they're doing it with people, absolutely.
After 9/11, somebody volunteered. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Where are you kidding?
Florida is real infamous about this, by the way. And they do it to Alzheimer's patients. Now, why would they do it to Alzheimer's patients?
They wander off.
And they don't know that they're doing it.
And they don't know they're doing it. So there was a thing, Verichip is the company name. Verichip is the one who made these specific chips that a convalescent home put it in their Alzheimer patients. And they didn't tell the families they did this. And why they do it? Well, this is for your family's benefit because we have Alzheimer patients that wander off and get lost and stuff. So they put chips in them, not telling the family. Well, they got busted for that. That was a big no-no. You can't do that without permission. But there are other facilities in Florida and other states that have asked permission. The families, yeah, go ahead. And they have put these chips in Alzheimer patients. Now, the Alzheimer patient's not signing a waiver of consent because they're not all there. And so they're putting these chips in Alzheimer's patients to track, you know, track them so they don't get lost. Let me ask you this. The benefits of having one of these. Now, I want you to think from the positive side, because you know the evil side already,
yeah.
Right? You know the evil side. Okay. But I want you to think from the positive side of this, because this is how they're going to sell it to people.
Yeah.
Okay? So what could they possibly say about this being a positive for your life?
Never lose your wallet.
You never lose your wallet. Why? Because in this system, that's your whole banking right there.
Yeah.
You do not carry credit cards. You do not carry cash anymore. You just wave your hand under a scanner. Oh, well, that would eliminate what?
Theft.
No one would ever mug you because you don't have any cash on you to begin with. Wow, isn't that a wonderful idea?
Until they cut your hand off.
Until they cut your hand off and they wave a corpse hand underneath and on Halloween, you know. Someone would try it.
They're going to scare us with our kids. They're going to say,
right.
Kids. That way if they're ever kidnapped,
we can track
find
them
immediately. And then those kids grow up and, of course, they're going to want, it just takes one generation to say, oh, yeah, it's great.
Great thing. You know, we won't lose any more kids. We won't have to see Nancy Grace anymore talking about lost kids anymore, right? We would eliminate all of that worry about a lost kid. You know, wow. And you're as a parent. Now, take away your biblical mindset. Let's pretend you're a pagan. You don't know Revelation 13 from Adam. And they're telling you, man, you'll never lose a kid. We'll always be able to track this. You have a sensor in your car to tell you where your kid's at. What are you thinking as a pagan parent?
Awesome.
That's a great idea.
Depends on how old your kid is.
Right.
A teenager, you might want him to get lost.
Yeah. You could. But as pagan Joe, I'm thinking, wow, what have they thought of now? What a fantastic invention. And then think about this. No dirty money. No money under the table, so to speak. You eliminate, you know, what will druggies do? They can't sell their drugs because no one has cash anymore.
You also eliminate the need for fake passports.
No fake passports, no fake ID. Hey, this whole identity theft thing where people are stealing your identity, you don't need LifeLock anymore with this, right?
You got LifeLock.
You have LifeLock, right?
I think it's more dangerous because you put all that information in the hands of less people, what's going to keep them from tracking your kids and taking them? Or tracking your kids and putting them in a camp? Or
We're thinking positive now.
Okay, well, I mean, it's just, but that's how Satan works. He gets you started thinking, oh, that's great. And then he comes in and drops the hammer.
Right. So Pagan Joe is completely out of touch with this one. He's just thinking, man, they're going to fill him with positive. Look, first of all, it's a positive. You ain't going to lose your pet. To start with that. Then you won't lose your kid. Your banking systems will all be there. No one will steal. This is the big one, is no one will steal your identity. That's the big one right now. And you know, if you've been a victim of identity theft, how bad it messes up credit and all kinds of stuff. That'll be eliminated with this kind of technology. Yeah, they would. Someone would know it.
That would be bad. Somebody's in charge of
all that. Well, and here's another positive, they'd probably sell it. You can never be framed.
Yeah.
How so? Because they would know where you were that day. So if you said, I wasn't there, and there was a robbery or a murder, I wasn't there, well, let's track your ID. Oh, yeah, your ID says you were over here at Valley Baptist, and you couldn't have been the possible murderer in the story of Clue. It's Professor Plum. And so you're like, yeah, I can see that.
Track criminals, too.
Track criminals. We would know. Okay, one of the problems we have with pedophilers is they don't register.
Yeah.
So there's a loophole in this. If you don't register as a pedophile, we don't know where you're at. The ones at Megan's Law that you pull up on your computer, that's the only ones that have legitimately registered. There's a ton of people who haven't registered. Well, we would know that with a Verichip, wouldn't it?
Another positive thing is you know where all the criminals are.
You know where all the criminals are. Yeah, absolutely. Lisa. Yeah, we protect people from defaulting. Just have the bank not charging $30 every time you.
Law.
Yeah.
Well, you're carrying your medical history on you, so.
They get scanned at the hospital.
You don't ever have to fill out a form in the medical thing when you go to a new doctor. Think how, why do you need this? Why do you need to know the name of my mother's maiden name of her cat? You know, why do they need that stuff? My name is enough. That's it. But you would just scan, okay, Mr. So-and-so, okay. The problem is all your medical history would be on there. All your history would be on there. All your family's history.
Could they ever put some stuff, good health?
Good health?
If we put that one, you'll be healthy.
They might sell it that way. They might absolutely, yeah, I mean,
we saw that as far as chocolate, ice cream instead of bananas at the store. We need to talk to you about healthy eating.
Right. since the government is now taking care of your medical, we saw that you went to McDonald's 5 times in 3 days.
So we're going to dock you 5 credits.
And so,
actually, they could deny you. When you
they could deny you. You won't be able to spend at McDonald's.
But now we're back in the area.
That could happen.
Declined.
You've taken too many fat calories in, and so you're going to somewhere else have a salad. In Germany, they've started these. They're called real stores, but they're called they're the future store. And in Germany, they have these stores. They're really big on it in Europe. I wonder why. So if you walk into this German store called Future Store or whatever, a real store, you don't ever take any money out. As you walk in the door, it scans you. And then as you pick up items, so this would prevent all theft, even employee theft it would prevent. Any items you buy, you just put them in your cart and you walk right out with them. It scans you when you walk out, tells you all the items, and it deducts it from your credit.
Well, you know, how do you know how much you got?
I don't know. Maybe somehow you have to have a centralized place where you see your banking, how much it would take. But you literally would not pull out your wallet. You would just, there's no checkers.
Come up with a BlackBerry app.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's exactly it.
What happens if, like all other electronic devices, it fails and scrambles everything?
It's possible. See, and then the other thing is they want to do this for our military and put in all our military troops for identifications and things of that. I'm surprised they haven't done it already. They're going to be the first ones to probably get this. That's the world we live in. Mike.
Time to stop subject. Anybody own a Crown Victoria in this room? No.
Okay. Now here's the that's the positive. As you're Pagan Joe, you're thinking, yeah, that sounds about right. Now, come from the biblical perspective as a Christian, what are you thinking about that?
No chip, no food.
End times.
It is the end times. Now think about this. There's no other place in history that I can go back to that they had this kind of technology to be able to buy or sell and track everything that you're doing. This is Big Brother at its fullest. This is the epitome of this. What you're going to read talks about this. So if I was living in the 1500s, I don't know how I would make sense about this, because it's concerning the whole world. In the 1500s, you had no way to control the buying and selling of the whole world. Now we're reached a point in time in history, we're there. There's no guessing. It's technology is there, is among us, it's happening right now, and it just continues to give you another signpost that that's how close we are to this event happening. Let's read the text, and then we'll decipher a lot of stuff from this. Where's my Bible at?
Brandon, with this.
Oh, can somebody give me my Bible? Scott, can you grab my Bible real quick? Go ahead.
This technology is here.
I don't know. I mean, we've been living in the last days of the last days since World War II, basically. Because when he said you'll hear when nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom, that's the sign for the end of the church age. Is World War. Well, we've had it. We've reached a point in history where actually the whole world can go to war, which they've done, World War I and World War II. So from World War II on, we've been living in the last days of the last days, prophetically speaking. How long this continues to go, I don't know. you have the issues like this. There's like 10 major markers. The rise of Russia, the rise of the revived Roman Empire, the rise of cashless system, the rise of a one world government. You have all, you put all these together and it tells you you're very close. I can't give you a date though.
So because we haven't got, because we really haven't gotten to the one world government just yet, we're getting there, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Probably say it's still a little ways off.
I don't know. You're talking about two different things. Let me splice what you're saying. The rapture can happen right now. There is no waiting for that. I mean, it's imminent. That means it can happen right now. What you're just talking about is things that will happen in the tribulation, which only happen during that seven-year period. That is related to events that we don't necessarily have to be, we're not going to see maybe. We won't be around for. So you say, how long do we have? I don't know. The rapture could happen today, and you could have 20 years go by until this starts happening, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 3, or 2, or 1. So it's not really dependent on a time scale, because we live in what's called imminency. That he can come tonight. He can come right now. But as far as this is concerned, I don't know.
Well, is there a difference between, because I know it said you're not supposed to speculate on the time of his return. So that would be the rapture, not the end time thing. We're not supposed to speculate.
Well,
on that.
Well, here, yeah, there's, that's a good qualification. You can't know the day or the hour for the rapture.
Right.
Okay, but if I'm talking about the second coming, the parousia, not the harpazo, the parousia, the second coming, is actually timed out by Daniel. When I see the Antichrist sign, if, well, we won't be here for that, but the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel, if I'm a believer living during that period of time, I know I have 7 years until the return of Christ. When he causes the abomination of desolation in the temple at the 3.5 year mark, I know at that point I have 42 months until Christ returns. Because what Revelation is they don't, the unbelievers don't know the day or the hour for the parousia. The believers will. In fact, you will know the very day that he's going to return. In Hosea chapter 6, Israel has a 3-day fast, and on the third day, he returns back for them. So when Israel starts that 3-day fast of repentance, national regeneration, they got 3 days until Messiah comes back, which is at the very, very end of the 7 years. So if I'm in the tribulation, I have a countdown.
So if the rapture were to happen today, mm-hmm. You're saying that the tribulation necessarily would not start today.
No, right. That the big mistake for a long time is that Christians have equated the beginning of the tribulation with the rapture, which is never talked about in Scripture. Daniel 9:27 indicates that the 70th week is triggered by the signing of the peace covenant with Israel. When he sits down at the table and signs his name with whoever the leaders of Israel are, at that point, 7 years has begun. Said the 70th week now has started, and the time of the end is upon them. So, yeah, you could have a gap, theoretically, 3, 4, 10 years maybe.
And if we're looking for the rapture, you know, Israel is almost a generation already.
Yeah, right.
You go by that scripture.
You could do that.
It's what your interpretation is.
Of a generation.
Several different indications in scripture what a generation.
Some of them are 100 years, some of them are 20. Yeah.
We're at the very least closing in fast on that.
The marker that I look for is the rapture can happen at any point in time. But if you're talking about the tribulation, the signs for the tribulation, all the markers are there now set. We're not waiting for Israel to become a nation. We're not waiting for Russia to have power. We're not waiting for the Middle East to be a power broker. Everything's there. So the table is being set, that has been setting for the last 100 years. It's there. It's ready. So if the rapture happened tonight, this thing would go into full swing as far as things starting to get ready for the tribulation. It could be 3 years from then. It could be 10 years from then. I don't know. But you have to, at least for Gog and Magog, you have to allow a seven-year cleanup for them. And so that at least puts a gap of at least 3.5 years to maybe 7 years before the tribulation. So there's a lot of things that got to happen. But what we're doing is, are we living in the generation? Here's a better biblical term. Better to biblically say you're living in the season of the end times. We are in the season according to Scripture. We're in that. And Paul even said that. Brethren, you are not ignorant of the times or seasons of our Lord's return. Because we're believers. We understand the times of the signs of the times. To unbelievers, he comes as a thief in the night. Not to believers, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This time should not take you unaware, Paul said. You should know that it's happening. This right here, if you read your Bible, you'll know, holy moly, we're there. What other stuff needs to be set? It's there. It's ready to go. So as far as that's thinking in your mind, Christ could come back for us anytime, but we are definitely in that season where what else needs to happen? What else needs to happen? And the issue of oil becomes a major player too.
Quick question. Like right now, if they do something like this, say that someone's in an Alzheimer's patient,
mm-hmm.
not a mark of
the disease. Right. I'm glad you brought that out.
Does it transition to become
yes.
taken that?
Good point. I'm glad you asked that because people say, if my dog gets this, is now he a beast follower? You know, they're worried about that. I mean, there's...
they did our dog. We got him on that little $20, you know, and they're like, okay, here's your microchip papers. I went, microchip? What are you talking about? I didn't know you were in a microchip. Oh, it's in the papers. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
He now serves the Antichrist.
Yeah,
or,
but now,
right, not you.
We got all our others done, but I'm like, well, I really don't know how I feel about that. Was that bad for her? What did I do? You know, I kind of feel weird about that.
Yeah, you feel weird about it. But here's the biblical definition. When you'll see this in the text. When is it not right to take this? The text will tell you at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation, when it's associated to the mark of the beast, is that's when you do not take it. We won't be around for that. So if your dog or your cat takes it, he or she is not a beast follower. If they put it in your grandma, a convalescent home does this to your grandma, and they put a chip in your grandma, she has not taken the mark of the beast, okay? And she's lost forever and going to hell. That's not what's going on here. The text will give you the time. The time is people who are conscious, awake, know what they're doing, at the 3.5 year mark, when the Antichrist now is being served as God, when it's called to say, in order to serve him, you must take his mark, that's when it is. That's the mark of the beast. So you're basically talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is when it becomes the beast's mark. Obviously, the parousia of the second return of Christ. So, right now...
It's not a hidden thing at all, right? It's like eyes wide open.
It's wide open. There's no guessing about this. That is why in 2 Thessalonians, anyone who takes the mark... Before they take the mark, they refuse to come to the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God sends them a powerful delusion at the 3.5 year mark, and they will believe the lie. And what is the lie? That Antichrist is God. So only 3.5 year mark. So yes?
What about those people who have taken, you know, let's say they start putting in people now,
mm-hmm.
and they're not believers, so they're here when that 3.5 year mark comes, they already have it, so...
Well, if I really want to splice hairs down, if that theory came down and we had an actual person live to that period of time, what the text is telling me is that at that point in time, those who are in allegiance to him must decide to do this. It's an action, even more than just putting in a chip. It's an action of worship. So obviously, I think you could rationalize if someone... It's not going to work. They either probably cut the chip out or whatever, or back off. You got to remember, when we look at the mark of the beast today, it is specific about what this mark is, and taking this chip doesn't necessarily have the marks of him on it. So even if when someone did it prior to this, they won't have the marks of it on it.
So it's like communion, or you actually have to.
You have to actually, at the 3.5 year mark, actually take it or bow a knee to it and accept it.
Yeah, because I always think of the way that it's worded in the text. I always think of it living in that time, doing it out of fear, you know?
Well, a lot of people will.
Yeah. So,
because he cuts your head off.
I'm wondering if relief that I already have it, you know,
yeah.
No.
You won't be there, by the way, hopefully,
no.
Unless you are an unbeliever and you're a plant. I don't know.
It's like a decision.
You have a salvation, man.
But right now, you know, you got to view these as tools.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You know, to take it in my hand, that's a tool that I wouldn't want to have.
That's right. I wouldn't either.
I might have a tool in my wallet.
I have a personal, absolutely.
Use it as it benefits me, you know, but the fact that they don't already track everything you can do is ridiculous.
I know.
We had an American Express credit card canceled because of our buying habits matched that of people who were defaulting on their American Express payments. So what they did... And they
really?
Went, yeah, they went through this when this whole banking thing fell apart a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And they went through and they matched your buying habits to people who weren't paying their bills. And if you were in that category,
they cut you.
Yeah. You paid your bills or not.
Wow.
This happened
they cut you too.
People in our industry.
Yeah.
And we were getting people coming in, they canceled my credit card right out of the blue. And they use
this kind of stuff
against you.
Yeah, and the thing about it is I can go with a long list of negatives about this. That being one, even if I'm not even going to take a biblical stance on this, I can tell you this. I don't like my personal freedoms being taken away from me. That is a relinquishment of my freedom to have someone in some office wearing a tie, knowing where I've went all day long, knowing what I've bought and sold, knowing my tracking. I tell you this, be careful about your computer perusals. Don't think anyone's not tracking it. Don't think Google will sell your information to the government. Do not think that they won't. Your cell phone is a tracking device, by the way. It has a GPS on it, most of your phones. It is a tracking device. If they wanted to reverse it on you, they could. See, people will say, well, Brandon, they're not doing it now. What's the harm? But the problem is the potential is there to turn it on you.
Yep.
If they wanted to do a witch hunt on all Christians, don't think this couldn't happen. They could turn it on you. Create fraud in your banking account, create fraud in your medical, your where you went, and say, look, your GPS in your phone said that you were at this bank when this bank was robbed, and we think it's you. That's an extreme, but things will be used against you if they want to persecute you. Mm-hmm. So even at this point, I don't like it because you lose freedom in this. And then I know what the other connotations is. This will be the tool of the Antichrist in order to track and buy. So I'm not for it. I'm not for it at all. And people will try to sell all the positives about it. It's a joke. It's Big Brother, man. And the ultimate Big Brother is coming to use it. So you're seeing the preliminary usages of this for, it's a positive. Now think about this. How does Satan come? You know this principle. He doesn't come in his ugliness. He comes as an angel of light. This will be sold to you. We got to get order here. Everything's in chaos. It's anarchy. We got to get some semblance of order, and this is where we're going to bring economic order to the world system. We can't have people cheating and things of that nature. Okay, so you can all see that coming in. Let's read the text and let's dig it out a little bit more. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. The fact that it's opposed to coming out of heaven, he's from the earth. So it's the evil, the idea of earth being... In Hebrew, it's Adam, means red. Adam is from the earth. The sin nature is attached to the earth. It always desires the earth, just like Esau. He sold his birthright for what?
Porridge.
Esau's name is red, but in Hebrew, it's Adam. Red is Adam. And so the sin nature is always attached to the earth. It desires the earth. It desires the red. And so in this case, it's telling that the beast is from the earth. He is from that sin-cursed world where the sin nature is always attracted to. So there's a clue in there about him. Now here's another clue. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. What's that saying? His appearance is religious. His appearance is very peaceful, like a lamb. But yet he's got two horns, and he speaks. What he speaks is of a dragon. He speaks the words of Satan out of his mouth. So he has the appearance of goodness, but his mouth reveals who he is. Now, that's interesting. That goes back to what Jesus said. How do you know the condition of someone's heart? With their mouth. The mouth always reveals the heart. You want to know what someone really feels and believes? Keep listening to him speak. Just keep letting him speak. Isaiah, when he was before the Lord and he saw the Lord enthroned, The first thing he said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I am of a people of unclean lips. He basically, in the Hebrew, is saying, I'm a dirty mouth. Now, what does it mean? That he's cussing all the time? No, what it means that his mouth reflects his heart. And what comes out of his heart is going out through the mouth, and that's why his mouth is unclean, because of his heart is unclean. And he says, I'm coming undone. He's losing, his mind is actually coming apart literally in the presence of God, because God is so holy and he's so dirty and unholy. So with this guy, his mouth reveals really who he is. He speaks for the dragon. Comes religiously. And he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence. So he has authority. So again, the satanic trinity is being set up. All three persons of the Holy Trinity have equal authority. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the satanic trinity. Last couple lessons, you've seen Satan as the Father, the beast as the false son, and now you're looking at the false Holy Spirit, the false prophet. He exercises authority just like the Holy Spirit. He has authority equal with the beast and Satan. Okay? And causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So that's the counterfeit resurrection of the Antichrist. It's at that point that this individual causes people to worship the beast. It hasn't happened the first 3.5 years, but it's now at this point, after his resurrection, the beast is calling for worship of him. Or sorry, the second beast. Now what does he do? He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Can you believe an unbeliever could do this? Yes. False prophets, false teachers can work miracles with satanic power. This guy will try to copy signs of Elijah and things of that nature. In fact, this is going back probably to the two witnesses who were killed by the beast. What were the two witnesses able to do? If someone attacked them, they were able to blow out fire from their mouth and kill them. So this guy is saying, I have their same power. I can call down fire anytime I want to kill anybody. Watch this. Boom. And fire comes down upon the whole earth or whoever, wherever he wants it. So he's mimicking. He's counterfeiting this. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So again, that's reference to the counterfeit resurrection of the false Messiah. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, so they make up an idol, and he actually gives a simulation of life, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So there it is. He'll make an idol. Somehow he sends a pneuma. In the Greek, it's pneuma, not zoe. So this is not life as God creates life. It's pneuma. It means breath or wind. The idea is a simulated life. So these idols that they will create for people to worship simulate life. We might have a clue about this. I'll show you in a little bit in my PowerPoint what this is, maybe. So if you don't do it, you're killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Why on their foreheads? If you can't do it on the right hand. It's obvious, it's visible, it's also copying the mark of God, and the mark of God actually goes across the foreheads of believers. He sealed this is a counterfeit mark. Every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit and their mark. In the spiritual realm, the demons and angels can see your mark. They know who the believers are and they know who the false ones are. The counterfeit of this is the mark of the beast. He's actually trying to counterfeit what God does by giving his own mark on the forehead on the right. Well, if you don't have a right hand, obviously this would be the place to do it. Right? And no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. His number is 666. Okay, and we'll tackle that a little bit. Let's go through preliminary things real quick. The false prophet. He is like a lamb, so he has the trappings of religion on him. He looks religious. He pretends to be religious. This possibly could be the leader of the Babylonian system that goes for the first 3.5 years. Possibly. So the head of the ecumenical movement, whoever that will be, wherever church that will be, this false church, the head of it might be the false prophet. Because he has the trappings of religion. I'm not saying that guy right there is, but I'm just saying he looks religious, so to speak, to the world, not to you and I. We know who religious people are. People who actually practice true religion are obedient to Christ. So he's human since he comes from the earth. He has the appearance of a true religious character. He will deceive many. He looks like a lamb. And he could be the head of the apostate church or religion during that first half. Okay. He's an agent of Satan because he speaks like a dragon. He is the counterfeit of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He's equal in authority to the beast and calls people to worship the counterfeit son who counterfeitly was resurrected, performs counterfeit miracles, signs of deception. The false prophet also causes worship of the beast through idolatry. So this is the ultimate form of idolatry. This is the Indiana Jones idol, by the way, if you remember that. Some of you remember that? Yeah. Cool. Famous scene. You got to remember that. He's taking the idol off the sand, all that stuff. Okay. Never mind. Watch Raiders of the Lost Ark today. Anyway, he makes up an idol for people to worship, but gives it pneuma. The image will be given life, not Zoe. Zoe is life in Greek, but pneuma is breath. Now, what could this possibly be? It may be animatronics. Now, maybe. This is a speculation. Back in their days, in the times of the Bible, they would practice ventriloquism in the temples with idols. That makes sense? So you would come as a worshiper of an idol. There would be a guy in the back room, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know, with all the cranks and, you know, going like that and stuff and making the smoke come out and all that. There was a guy, a priest like that, and he would practice ventriloquism through the idol. So the priest would speak and the people would think, oh my gosh, the idol is speaking to me, Dagon or whoever, what idol it would be. Yes, Lisa. Yeah, I mean, it's something to that nature. It could be anything. I'm taking a guess right now, and this is what I'm going to end on because I'm late. If you're in John's first century and you get a glimpse of animatronics, what do you think? If you live in 9580, it seems to be alive, but it's not human. It could very well be animatronics. I don't know. That these idols that the beast will create for people to worship could be like what, you know, at Disneyland, the Abraham Lincoln exhibit, where it's an animatronic situation. I don't know. I really don't know the issue, but it could be. Some have suggested that it could be animatronics, which, again,
is really just a part of the beast. He started all the animatronics.
Well, no. What it could be is, the point I want to get to, if it is animatronics that he uses for idol worship, then it makes perfect sense because we're living in that time where animatronics are available, if it is. It doesn't have to be, but something is going on here where John is saying it seems to have life in it. I can't explain where the life comes from, but it seems to have life in the idol itself. You know, so it's kind of a Wizard of Oz type of idea. Something is going on here. It's not really life, but it looks like it. I don't know. But the world, whatever it is, the world will go back to idolatry. We'll bow a knee to these statues and images. Can you believe that? You think as human beings, we've become sophisticated. We don't do that anymore. Baloney. The whole world will bow a knee to these idols and made in the image of the beast. Okay, I got to run for the invitation right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to decipher what 666 means. This is just your homework. Because next week when we come back, I'm going to take you through to deciphering it. It takes a lot of prep time to get to it, but it's not going to reveal the Antichrist right now, by the way, just to let you know that. But I want you to look at the clues of what it's trying to say, because the believers in the tribulation, they will be able to decipher the number and the name of the beast. In the tribulation. You can't do it now, but they will then. But look at the clues for next week and come up with what it really says. Okay, I gotta run.